Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the gift of life that you give us each day. And Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here who have taken time to come, some of them earlier than normal, some don't, that I know attend Saturday night, just taking time out of their Sunday to be here, to be involved, or at least to hear about the gospel life encounter. And so just thank you for them, their willingness to be here. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide and direct us this morning, and that this would be really a fruitful time and an honoring time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank all those that from Saturday night and, you know, that don't come to the late service. Thanks so much for coming this morning. Thanks for responding to the couple emails that I sent out. But how many are from Saturday night? Can you raise your hands? Okay, so you saw this video last night. I'm going to start off with the video. This is called Gospel Life Encounter, and you know, we've been slowly rolling different aspects of what we're calling the gospel life in the fall that we're launching. And so this is called Gospel Life Encounter. So I'll let this guy explain it to you, okay?
Excited today to announce an aspect of the gospel life that we are launching in the fall. We are calling it Gospel Life Encounter. And it will happen on Sunday mornings between 9:45 and 10:45 a.m. We really believe that the Lord is going to use this in a number of different ways to call us to himself and to form us as the people of God. And so let me just share with you a few of those ways. The first way is that we can more easily connect people of different demographics, like young adults, college, young marrieds, married with children, empty nesters, to others in their stage of life throughout the church at Central, throughout the body. Another way is that when new people come, it's an easy way for us to direct them into a class where they can meet people and really feel welcome. Another way that the Gospel Life Encounter will help us is it will unite us as the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is everyone from the nursery to children's ministry to middle school to high school and all adults will be going through the same discipleship framework. And one of the exciting things about that is, you know, we as a church have a vision to help parents disciple their children. And so this will provide an environment where we can equip the parents and help them to better disciple their kids, because they will be going through the same discipleship framework as their children will, so they will feel more equipped. Another exciting thing is that the way that we will conduct these classes is just very innovative. So when you come into the class, there will be a 15 to 20 minute teaching time where there will be a lecture on the topic for that day. Then after that time, we will break up into small groups of 6 to 8 people, and that will be led by a facilitator that will ask questions to help people engage that topic. And one of the things that we believe this will do is it will facilitate community groups. And so that time where people are discussing and processing together will be a time where they are connecting. And we believe that that will help organically form community groups because they're connecting on that level. So the gospel encounter time will be an equipping time where we equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and that will free up these community groups that are forming to connect together, to relate to one another, to do life together, and to care well for one another. And it's the same thing for the middle school, high school, and young adults, because they have a time on Sunday mornings where they are being taught and being equipped. Then the other times that they meet during the week, they can really build community and have fun together and really serve together. And so there's so many other ways that we believe this Gospel Life Encounter will help us to launch forums that are related to topics we'll be studying on Sunday morning. There will be times where people can be mentored, and then we also think it will be a springboard to launch men and women's ministry. So if you can't tell, I'm super excited about the fall. Hopefully some of the things that I've shared with you today has whet your appetite to participate with us. We will be doing registration here in about 3 weeks. But in the meantime, would you join us and just really pray that the Holy Spirit would use this gospel life encounter to draw us to himself, because we know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can provide us true life that is flourishing.
Okay, so some of you, that's the second time you've seen it. So let me go through just kind of some of the underlying thought behind this gospel life encounter and some of the details for you. And again, this morning's meeting is more just informational for you, and then to begin to invite you to pray and to consider becoming either a teacher or a facilitator for this gospel life encounter. And so why did we call it gospel life encounter? Of course, you know, our theme is gospel life. And the encounter part is we want people to come during this time to encounter Jesus, you know, to encounter the risen Lord, and also to encounter relationships with one another. So that's kind of the basis behind that. Okay, so first, it's going to be from 9:45 to 10:45 a.m. On Sunday mornings, and it's going to be between the first and second service. So as you know, that means the services are going to have to, you know, switch times. So the first service will start at 8:30, okay, and end around 9:45, and then people will head to their gospel life encounter classes, and we're asking, you know, the teachers to actually begin at 9:50, so that we're going to have an hour in the class, and at 10:50 we'll be done, so that the second service will be switching to 11 o'clock. And so that will give them 10, you know, everybody that goes to the second service 10 minutes to get to their classes or pick up kids or whatever they need to do. It's a tight window, but I think we can work with that, okay? Okay, the class structure. As you know, I come from where I taught at the seminary. And so some of the things with education, theological education, and really education that transformed, some of the research that has been done is that in about an hour class, the first 15 to 20 minutes are really important. That's when people pay attention, okay? But then after that, it's like too much information and they can't process it. So then you have to let people have time to begin to discuss it, to internalize it, to apply it to themselves. And then you have another window at the end of that hour of about 5 to 10 minutes where you can kind of leave them with some takeaways or some things, you know, to apply during the week. And so that's how we've structured the class. So the first 15 to 20 minutes that the teacher or co-teacher will give kind of a teaching lecture to engage people in the class and the questions that are going to be asked. And then during the next 30 to 35 minutes, we'll actually break up into small groups in the class, and that will be led by a facilitator. So a facilitator will maybe lead, you know, 6 to 8 other people in some discussion questions that will help them to really engage the topic for that day. And then the teacher will come up afterwards and make some concluding comments. Okay, the classes that we're looking at having, you can see them up here. So I said in the video that we're going to all be going through the same discipleship framework. And so what we're using actually is age-specific for a number of these different kind of demographics. So, you know, you can see baby, toddlers, preschool, you know, our base camp, our preteens, middle school, high school. Then now we're going to have some additional classes, college and young professionals, older singles, young marrieds, married with children, empty nesters, intergenerational, and then Chappaqua and carriers of the Spirit. So you can see we're adding a number of different demographics and classes that we haven't had before to try to engage more people so that they just don't come here, go to church, and then they leave. You know, we're asking them to commit to another hour, you know, for their formation, for Christian formation, and for their spiritual growth. Okay. Okay, the materials. I'm not going to go specifically into the materials today, but I want to kind of give you an overview. We're going to share about that here in the next couple weeks. But first of all, it's age-specific, okay, from nursery to adults. We're going to be looking at a meta-narrative of the Scripture. So, you know, one of the things that we realize is that, you know, we learn about stories in the Scriptures. We learn about New Testament, Old Testament, but we don't have a place to put those things and how it fits into the arc of the narrative of Scripture. And so what this is going to allow us to do is to actually study the Scriptures. You know, some of you were here for the story, right, about 5-6 years ago. It's kind of like that, but much more in depth, okay? And I love what we're going to be doing with it. But you're going to be looking at the narrative of Scripture, the redemptive narrative of Scripture from Genesis through Revelation. It has a Christological focus, so we're going to look at how some of the Old Testament points to Christ or allusions to Christ and how that's fulfilled. Biblical theology, so that's that meta-narrative. When I say biblical theology, it's kind of the story of the Scripture, that meta-narrative. And then we're also going to study systematic theology. So in that study, we're going to study 99 different areas of systematics, so like the doctrine of God, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of gifts, okay? Those will be interspersed throughout this study. Then there's also a daily discipleship guide that all of the people that are participating will have. So don't be, like, too concerned or overwhelmed by that. That daily discipleship guide you can read in about 5 minutes. So it's not like you got to spend hours doing it. It's a short devotional, but it's related to the topic. So we'll discuss the topic in the classes, and then there'll be a follow-up daily discipleship guide that they'll use next week. So there's really not any preparation unless people want to prepare beforehand. The daily discipleship guide is kind of a follow-up after the Sunday teaching. And then the discipleship team, my team, which is about 12 to 13 people, what we will do weeks in advance, we will take the lessons, and we will talk through as a team what kind of the main focus that will drive that initial lecture, okay? Because there's so much information there, but we as a team will determine what are like the main one or two points that we want people coming away with on that particular Sunday, you know, a few weeks out. What do we want them to come away with? And we'll also talk about the questions, okay? So we'll help kind of develop some of those questions. There's questions in the material, but we will look at them and see how they fit. And then I put myself, but there'll probably be other people on my team that will actually, we will teach the material. So once my team discusses it, then one of us will actually do a demonstration teaching. Okay, and that will be available for teachers and facilitators to see and know exactly what we're going to be communicating, you know, a couple weeks out. So that way, when you go there as a facilitator to lead small group discussions, you'll have a really good idea of, oh, this is where they're going this Sunday with that material. Okay? Okay, Brenda, can you go ahead and... So what I want to do now is I want to hand out a sheet that has the teacher's qualifications and responsibilities and also the facilitator's qualifications and responsibilities. And let's just read through that real quick. You can imagine, you know, how many facilitators we're going to need when you're talking about a facilitator for every 6 people. So we're going to need a lot of facilitators, okay, to help with this, and we want a lot of people to be engaged in this. Okay, let's go through the teacher, and so every class will have a teacher and a co-teacher, and right now a lot of the teachers are, of course, our staff, our pastoral staff, but we also want to bring in co-teachers because sometimes, you know, different responsibilities, we won't be there that particular Sunday, so we need a co-teacher to be able to step in and teach, okay? So qualifications, of course, you know, some of these are obvious. Born again, Christ follower, not a new convert, mature believer. For a teacher, we want them to be a member of Central, okay? So we want them to be a member. Humble, approachable, and learning to live the gospel-centered life. have a teachable spirit and willingness to learn and open to training, must be engaged with the discipleship material and consistently be spending time studying and preparing, well-versed and able to faithfully handle the scriptures, has a solid biblical and theological foundation and doctrinally grounded, willing to disciple others, enjoys teaching and feels called to this ministry, able to teach and equipped by the Spirit, capable and good communicator who has the gift and passion of teaching. Here are some of the responsibilities of a teacher, co-teacher. Give a 15 to 20 minute intro lecture to engage those in the class to want to learn. Deliver key lesson content to a large group with appropriate context. Answer broad and specific questions related to the lesson and know when to get help. Humbly, clearly, and faithfully teach the Word of God with commitment and compassion. Prepare and communicate well in all situations. Have the ability to engage and interact with the whole class and individual members. Inspire the class to dig into the Scriptures. Elevate Christ in the Scriptures with enthusiasm, honor, and authority. Work with a co-leader so that momentum is not lost in their absence. Plan ahead and come to any required meetings with staff leadership. Get to know the people in class and prepare to call them to use their giftings. Identify potential future leaders within the class and keep regular communication with facilitators so they are on the same page. I know that looks like a lot, but it's not too bad. Okay, facilitators, qualifications. Again, born again, Christ follower, maturing believer, not a new convert. For a facilitator, they can be a member or a regular attender of Central. They don't have to be a member, all right? Humble, approachable, learning to live a gospel-centered life, a teachable spirit with a willingness to learn and openness to training, a gift or a desire to show hospitality. So one of the things that I said in my video is when the facilitators are there, as people are coming in, new people, people in the class, we want you guys to really make them feel welcome. So we want people that desire or have gifts of hospitality, you know, because that's one of the ways we're going to connect new people or people that haven't yet engaged the gospel life encounter. Let's see. Well-versed and has a good foundational knowledge of Scripture. A good communicator, relator, who is capable of asking thought-provoking questions to engage people in discussing the topic. Able to internalize and share lessons well. Now, again, our team will be coming up with the questions, so you don't necessarily have to think of them yourself, but you'll want to read them and just say, okay, how can I ask this? How can I get people involved in the discussion? Feels called to this ministry and equipped by the Spirit. So responsibilities, be to class early and intentional in greeting and welcoming those attending the equipping classes. Get to know people in the class by name and make them feel welcome. Have an awareness of attenders who are struggling and encourage them to share their needs to be prayed for. Host 2 to 3 couples in the class for dinner or dessert once a month or go out for lunch after class if that's possible. Facilitate discussion of that day's topic by preparing well to lead and provide an opportunity for all to participate. Help class attendees internalize and apply what they are being taught. Answer related questions to the lessons and know when and how to say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you with that. Take care of some administrative duties, very minor, and then be available for weekly involvement on a long-term basis. Okay, so those are the qualifications and responsibilities for teachers and facilitators. So I want to open it up now for questions that you may have, because again, we want you to really pray about this and see if the Lord's calling you to be involved in this, either as a teacher, co-teacher, or a facilitator. So let me just open it up to any questions that you might have about where we're headed. So David was asking, there's some required meetings. There probably won't be many. I think I wrote that on there before we came up with the idea for the teacher and facilitators to actually video record. Okay, shows my age. to record the actual teaching time. And so then what we'll do is we'll send out a link and make that available for people to watch on their own. So it'll probably be very minimal. Now, there will be some initial training for the teachers and facilitators leading up to when we launch this. But after that, it'll be minimal, I think. Unless I feel like maybe we need to gather and just get all on the same page. Let me put this up here. Here's kind of the schedule for the launch. So after our meeting today, you know, if you want to be involved, we have forms for you to fill out. We'll give everybody a form, or in the next week or so, as you pray and consider this, you can email us what your desire is. But on August 25th, so that's what, 2 weeks from today? Today's the 11th, right? 2 weeks from today, we'll have the first initial teacher and facilitator training, okay? Then, and it'll probably be at the same time, 9 o'clock. Then September 8th, there may be another teacher facilitator training. I need to determine exactly how far we can get with that training. Then September 5th, is the unified service. And then the 22nd is when we launch everything for the Gospel Life Encounter, okay? So starting on the 22nd, service times will shift, and then we will have that hour. So it's going to be a big weekend for us, those last 2 weekends of September. So, Jeff and I have talked about, so the question was, what about existing groups? I know some groups are wanting to get more people because they've had people that have left. For those that aren't currently leading groups, they will launch new groups. For those that already have groups, you may invite some of them into your existing groups. Okay, so we want an easy way for people to connect. So if you're a facilitator and you already are leading a group, you can invite some of those people into your groups and say, hey, we have this group. We'd like for you to join us. And too big of a community group. Yeah. Well, I think maybe six couples or 12 people is a good size for a community group. Because if you're really going to get to know each other and do life together and connect, if it gets too big, you can't do that. And see, one of the things that we hope that this Gospel Life Encounter will do is this will be a time where, as I said in the video, you're going to learn, you're going to study. So not that you can't do that in the small groups, but we want people to connect more. You know, we want people to do life, and we want people to care for each other more in the community groups. That doesn't mean you can't go off and do a study. You can do that. But we want people to really, you know, share life together. That's what we're trying to facilitate. So if they already have that learning and teaching on Sunday mornings, then, you know, that gives freedom to do other things. Okay. Yeah, Jeremy. No. No, if you already have a community group, we're not trying to break the community group up. From some of the people that we've talked to, again, they're losing people. There's only a few in the community group, so we want an easy way to connect people. And here, I think we had difficulty connecting people to community groups because they're trying to find, like, where do we go, and is this the right group? Now you just go to a class, and we're hoping there's 50 to 100 people there, you know, 60 people. And so it's just an easier way to connect people and say, oh, are you in a community group? Why don't you join us? You know, it's just an easier way for new people to get connected or existing people in our church to get connected into community groups. Because they're already there for the class. And I don't expect us to launch any community groups until after the first year. You know, for the first couple months, it's just getting to know each other and you know, getting to know people in the class. So I don't expect community groups to launch until sometime in January. Not that they can't. Yeah. So, I think I did touch on that, is that those community groups that meet outside of Sunday, it's just being able to do life and care for each other more. I know Sean has a real passion for just spiritual formation. And so there are going to be resources, Jeff and Sean, myself, there's going to be resources that we're going to provide for you that help you to connect on a deeper level. You know, because you know community groups can just be come and eat, pray, you know, do a study, and then you're out of there. And you don't really know people. I mean, you can be in a group for years and really still not really know people other than on a very surface level. And so we want to help facilitate that by saying, hey, do come to the Gospel Life Encounter Hour, and we're going to do, you know, it's going to be incredible, okay? We are going to adapt this discipleship framework for age-specific levels, okay? So we're not just taking it and, like, using it. We're really thinking through it and saying, what's the key thing we want people to come away with for their life? you know, and for the gospel, and for the redemptive narrative of Scripture. And so a lot of thought, it's not just taking something and just using it, because that, and that's why the discipleship team is actually going to walk through that together, and I lead that team, and we're going to say, okay, what's the one or two things that you're just like, man, you come away with there, and it's like, I just never saw that before, you know, for my life, for the gospel, for missions, for outreach, for the life of the church, you know, just those type of things we're going to be addressing. One of the things also, and I don't think this has been shared, but everybody who comes to the Gospel Life Encounter will get a book called Seek First, okay? And Darren has been using that book to kind of undergird some of the things that he has been preaching, but it really talks about seeking the kingdom and how the kingdom invades every area of our life, from Sabbath to, you know, work to play to relationships. The gospel should affect us in deeply profound ways in all areas of our lives. And so that's what we're striving for in this Gospel Life Encounter, is our relationship with Jesus should deeply, profoundly affect us and affect our relationship with him and affect our relationship with others. Okay. Yeah, Todd. Yes. Yeah, the discipleship team already exists. It's essentially everyone that reports to me. So everyone who's kind of involved with or over a ministry from children's all the way up to adults are part of that team. So if you think about all the pastors on staff, all the directors, that's my team, and even some that aren't, like Michael Thorne. He doesn't report to me, but he's part of my team. Okay, and we even have a lay elder, you know, Tom Butts is on that team. So we meet on Mondays, so I know that not everyone that's going to be a co-teacher or teacher can attend that, so that's why we're going to do the video recording for everyone to see. Okay, Paige? No, everything is shifting to this Gospel Life Encounter time. Okay, so Chappaweka, if you're in Chappaweka, you can stay in Chappaweka, but they'll also be going through it together. Carriers of the Spirit. You know, Ross's class, they will stay together and they'll go through it together, okay? So we won't be, everything will happen because we want us as a church to be together during that time. So we'll have the first service, the second service, and then that hour where we are all, you know, just delving into the scriptures. I saw Graham back there. Okay, so one of the things, we're going to have registration here that's going to kick off in a couple weeks. And so we don't know yet how, you know, because like a young married couple may want to be in the young marrieds class, but then they may get there and they'll say, you know, we really want the wisdom of an intergenerational. And so they may switch. So initially, we're going to ask people to sign up so we can get a feel of how many people are going to be in the classes and where we can place them. So I've walked around with Michael Hunter, you know, all throughout CCA, just trying to figure out, okay, where are big classrooms? Where can we place people? Where's a good environment where we can put people and then give them enough room to break up into small groups? So we've kind of got that scoped out. But until we actually get the registration and get a feel for that, and of course, you know, if you're not registered that first Sunday that we kick off, we're just going to say go, you know, just go to class. Just go somewhere. Because we don't want to hinder anybody from saying, oh man, I got to wait in line and register. No, just go, okay? And so we want to make that as easy as possible. So once we, kind of after the first couple weeks, we'll kind of have a feel. We may have to shift people around depending on the size of the class. And we may have to actually break up because we don't have big enough rooms for every class. So like maybe there might be two young marrieds class, something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure how it's going to fall out yet. I think there'll be, you know, it's hard to say organically what's going to happen. I think once you start connecting with a small group, you people tend to kind of go with what they're familiar with. So it's really hard to say. You know, they could switch up every week. It'll just depend on the class. Yeah, it's hard to say. With middle school and high schoolers, same way. They're going to be during that time. There's going to be, you know, Jason's right behind you. He's going to give, you know, a 15 to 20 minute teaching. There's going to be small groups. I mean, every class will be conducted the same way. And what's cool about this is, like, for an eighth grader, right? Ninth grade's high school, right? Yeah, for eighth grader that goes from middle school up to high school, they're going to just jump right in because the high school is going to be the exact same place they're at. So for high school to college, same thing. When you graduate from high school, you jump into college young professionals. They're going to be right there, but at a different level, okay? So it's not like we're teaching the same, we are using the same framework, but again, we're teaching at age-specific levels so that when you go from high school to college, I mean, you're going to get, you know, a little bit, you should be getting some deeper teaching, you know, and engagement in that. No, everything, there won't be any classes during either worship time. It's during that hour. Oh, sorry. No, there will be. Yeah, for kids, there will be. And the kids' time during that hour will be the main teaching time. But during the other two services, we're going to have other activities and teaching related to that. So it's not going to be disconnected. During the worship service, that time for kids will be exactly the same. The main teaching will be during the equipping, the encounter, the gospel life encounter time. There will be some teaching during the first and second service, but it'll be shorter. But we've got a plan for. But during the first and second services, kids that are in that space will be going through the exact same thing. Okay, so that we're trying to make that 1 hour the teaching time, the primary teaching time, so that everybody's being taught at that time and everybody's engaging at that time. Yeah, they can stay there. We'll have a number of different activities related to that lesson. They'll have a small teaching time, maybe a 15-minute. But then when they, during the gospel life encounter time, they're going to have a much longer teaching time and other activities. It'll be totally different. So they'll either go to the first, you know, during the first worship and the gospel life encounter time, or gospel life encounter and then the second, it'll be the same. Yes, yeah, yeah. We'll have to restructure all that. And one of the things is that during the first 2 weeks, we're working with the encouragers to they're going to help us with the children's time so that everybody can go. No one has to serve during those first 2 weeks because we feel like those first 2 weeks are so critical. If we don't get people's imagination during that time for what this could be, we've lost them. So those first 2 weeks are critical. So we want everybody to be in, you know, a gospel life encounter class. After that, we're going to have different classes help. You know, you're going to serve, okay? You're somewhere along the line, you're going to serve either in children's ministry or kids' ministry. So probably like once a month or maybe once every couple months, we're going to ask you to serve, okay? So you're going to miss, you know, a class once every couple months or so. But we're trying to foster just a spirit of service, you know. We are spending way too much on childcare. Last year, we spent over $100,000 on childcare. I mean, we should be serving and using a good portion of that towards ministry and missions. You know, why are we paying people? And who better to teach our kids? If we have this vision for discipling kids, why are we as parents not in there teaching kids instead of letting somebody else who's, you know, getting paid? I'm sure they're teaching too, but maybe, you know, some of them are there just for the money. So, Tom? Okay. Backup for facilitators. Right now, we don't have a plan. But no, I think what we can do is disperse people. I'm hoping that we'll have enough facilitators where, you know, if a facilitator isn't there that week, we'll just, they can just go to other facilitators. Just break up. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Okay. So this is only the beginning, honestly. This gives my team time to build a lot of other things because we have a vision for a lot more than just this. But we felt like there was kind of that we had to kind of reset the whole church in terms of what the gospel really means for us as a people of God, okay? So this particular framework is for 3 years, I know that sounds daunting, but when you think about it, it's not a lot of time, especially when you're only in there, you know, one day a week. And it goes year round. There's no break, okay? Other than like for Christmas and different holidays and stuff. So this is a 3-year, you know, but if you can make a commitment for 1 year, you know, that's what we're asking for. And then, you know, if you can't do it the next year, we'll get other people. But we're asking for like an initial 1-year commitment. But if we go through this whole framework, it's actually 3 years. Okay, let me go to some. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. And so I know a number of the elders are in discussion with the Saturday night. We haven't decided yet. We don't know yet. You know, because to try to mirror this on Saturday is very hard. Now, of course, I haven't been here for the last 10 years, so I don't know. So I'm only talking from discussions that I've had with others on the staff. People, it's hard to get people to come early, and it's hard for them to get them to stay late, because they've got to come either an hour, 15, 20 minutes early, or stay an additional hour, you know, maybe to stay late. No, that's why the discussions are happening. Yeah. Right. No, that's. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, that's one of the discussions that different elders and pastors are having right now with families on Saturday night to see, you know, how could we do this? You know, how could we possibly do this? So. Yeah, as far as I know, yep, right now. Again, you know, discussions are happening with those families. So, Dave?
How is this going to affect men's groups and women's Bible studies going to happen during the week?
Okay. Yes, they will. In fact, I've been talking to Pam and various people that are leading teaching, you know, what we consider equipping classes during the week. Those will continue. I think one of the things that we want to do, though, is try to align those with what we're doing as much as possible so that they're not too disconnected. But we'll offer some other things. But, yeah, those will continue, the moms-to-mom, you know, the precepts classes, the other classes that we have will continue. Yep. Yes. Yeah, we plan. So we want to start with this. And, again, we want to build on this. So this is just foundational. And we're going to build on a lot of things. I mean, I envision a number of, you know, biblical classes, theological classes, all kinds of classes that we can build on top of this, memorize the word. There's definitely ways that we can build on this. The other thing that I said in the video is we want to launch forums, okay? So as we're going through this, there's going to be certain topics that we feel like, wow, we really want to engage that as a body. So we will have forums, like maybe on Sunday nights, where we'll have a panel, we'll discuss it, there'll be questions and answer, some back and forth that I think will be really fun and engaging, you know, for people. Yeah, Neil? Yeah. So one of the things that we will give to you is just a form for you to fill out, whether you want to be a teacher and facilitator, and then where. Where do you want to be a teacher? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah, we're looking at moving that time, at least the small group time, to Sunday morning during the Gospel Life Encounter hour. And then I know Jason has engaged some families that we want to combine, you know, the middle school and high school on Wednesday nights, so that parents don't have to be here two nights a week, you know, bringing their kids. And then the stuff that they're doing on Wednesday nights will also be associated with this, okay? It's going to be in line with this. Also with what we would call Awanas, okay? We love what Awana, and some of you may have gotten this letter, we love what Awana brings, but we also want it to be connected to this discipleship framework. So we're calling it, I think, Gospel Life Adventure Club. So there's going to be scripture memory, but it's going to be more connected so that they're not just learning it, you know, one time a week. They're actually learning it multiple times and that it's more connected. So it's going to be run just like Awana's, but it's going to be more connected to our discipleship framework. Yeah, we are using a material. We've actually purchased the material, okay, and that will be shared here in the next couple weeks with all of you. But I've kind of given you the broad picture that it's going to be a meta-narrative of Scripture. It's a three-year program. There's a discipleship guide, daily discipleship guide for all age ranges. And it's a biblical theology and a systematic theology going through these 3 years. So that kind of gives you a framework. And I'll share more details, you know, for those that actually want to be involved and want to engage as teachers and facilitators. We'll probably go through some of that here in the next couple weeks. Yeah. And honestly, even a three years, one day a week, that's not much time. We're going to look at the whole narrative and we're going to pick out certain parts of it. But I see us in the future looking at having classes like biblical narratives, you know, that really dive deeper into the narrative of Scripture, poetry, you know, prophetic, and just there's so much that we can do with this. So this is, again, just resetting us, getting us all kind of on a good foundation, and then, you know, as we begin to build these classes, you know, eventually maybe they would even be for seminary credit, you know, or somebody, or some type of certificate, you know, if you wanted to, you know, be a missionary, or you could get some type of biblical certificate. You know, that's kind of long-range terms, but that's what we're working towards, you know, to form us as a people of God, just to be biblically and theologically rooted, you know, in the Scriptures. So that's longer term. Don't expect that next year. It'll be for everyone. The teachers and facilitators will get we'll get the materials, but it's for leaders. So there's additional information in there. There's like commentary helps, things like that. Of course, for those of you that like to dig in, you probably have Bible software. You can even dig deeper, right? But you don't have to have that stuff. And the way that they've created this material, someone fresh that has never taught it, they can come in and teach it because it almost tells you what to say. We don't want to teach it that way. Okay, we want it to be engaging. We don't want someone to teach it and be looking down at the notes, right? But that's the way it's framed, okay? So that someone who doesn't have, you know, who has a general sense of the Scriptures and a good biblical foundation can teach it without having to put a ton of time into it. But we want people to put time into it. Potentially, yes. Yeah. Yep, potentially, yes. Now, we start getting information from you, the team will actually sit down, because I don't know all of you personally. I think with our team, we know most of you. And so we can say, yo, that person's really, you know, really good with kids. You know, yeah, they marked this, but they're good. So we're going to ask you to, like, put your top three choices for who you want feel called to be working with. And yes. Yeah, we'd like to. Yeah. Yeah, if you're in a couples class, yes. But if, like, you want to work with youth, then Mark could teach somewhere else, and you could work with youth. But for the couples classes, we would like for couples to be there together. Yep. Females can co-teach with their husbands. Yeah. Yes. For small groups? Yeah, the small groups, we're not going to dictate what you do. We're going to just provide resources and encourage you. You know, we want to encourage small groups to have a vision to do life together and not make it so much of a teaching time. Because I think typical small groups, you come, you meet people, you go through a video series, you talk about it, or you're studying a book or something like that. And that's fine, but we want to provide other resources to dig deeper in terms of building relationships and not just come there and do a study. I mean, we're doing that on Sundays, so why repeat that? Not that you can't. So we're not going to dictate what you do in your small group. We're just going to encourage and say, hey, here's the vision for small groups. Here's what we want to see as a church. And here's, you know, the best way to form relationships is not in, you know, the worship, there will be some relationships that will form in the classes, but to really do life together, it's got to be in a small group, right? And that's where we want to see it happen, not a study. Yeah. Okay. So you saw up there, there's 13 different categories. And, of course, we've got, you know, people on staff leading a lot of those already. So right now, I think we're needing maybe one or two teachers and then co-teachers for all of those, especially the adult classes, okay? So we're looking for maybe 5 to 6 co-teachers for the adult classes. For facilitators, we'll take as many as we can get, right? Because we just don't know. I mean, we hope 600 people engage in this, right? So if you figure like a group of 6 people, you know, you're going to need a lot of facilitators, right, for those. Because we want to keep it small. At most, like 8. Because in a half an hour, to allow people to talk and to engage, you don't want it to be too big. So 6 to 8, that includes actually the facilitator. So 3 other couples at the most with a couple facilitators. Potentially, yes. Yeah, exactly. Potentially, yeah. Yep, we need a lot. And actually, I don't know how many people are here, but we had 200 on our list of invitees. And I know some of them said they couldn't come because of other commitments, and so that's why we're recording this. Okay, we've got about 5 more minutes. What else can I answer for you? Yes. How are the services going to coordinate? Oh, Darren? No, he will continue. So we have a team that determines kind of our preaching schedule out for a number of months, like 6 months. And so Darren will continue to teach and preach expositionally through books of the Bible, okay? So it may not necessarily be connected with this, okay? But, I mean, you know, you're just going to continue to get good teaching, good preaching. What other questions or concerns that you have that I can answer for you? Yeah. Yeah. Right, so through video, so like this video that you just watched today, Mark, will be in the services. So that's kind of the casting a vision of what this can help us to do as a church. And then emails, more video. We're going to have another video. There's going to be announcements from the pulpit by Darren as we get closer to it. There's going to be registration. So I think the weekend we register for these classes, Darren's going to talk about the material, you know, brief discussion about the material. And actually that particular Sunday, we'll probably meet, for those of you that want to engage as teachers and facilitators, we'll probably meet here, and I'll kind of talk you through some of it. And I haven't decided, I may even teach the first Sunday, what we would do the first Sunday. Okay, here's another thing. The first 2 weekends, which are the last 2 weekends of September, we're not actually going right into the discipleship framework, because our team's been working really hard to think about, like, what's compelling, you know? Because when you say, well, we're going to do this curriculum or this program, people are like, another one? That's not compelling, right? Those first 2 Sundays, we have been shaping and forming to call people and to give them a compelling vision to want to do this. And so it's not actually going to be, it's going to be related, but it's not actually that framework. So I may teach one of those when we meet next time so that you can get an idea, a picture of like, oh, this is, wow, yeah, this is great, hopefully. Yeah, Irene's asking, can we, you know, our team has been praying and fasting since November, every Monday, as we've been meeting about this. And so she's asking, how can the church, you know, Darren will be preaching 4 sermons leading up to the launch of this. The last sermon will be on our unified service, okay? One of those sermons is going to be on prayer and fasting. And so, and then we're going to call the church to pray and fast for a week, okay, for this. And then we're going to conclude it by a time of prayer as a congregation. So, yeah, there, you know, we've really thought through, you know, yeah, this is huge. You know, this is a major shift for us. So, no, nobody likes change. Jeremy? Right. Right. We'll have various people from each of the groups volunteering. So not the whole group, but like, you know, several couples or two or three couples from each of those or people going and volunteering every week. It will be also during the service. I mean, we're going to still need a lot of help. Yeah. Yep. Okay, just a couple more. Yes. Yes. Yep. Everybody who volunteers has to have a background check. Paige? Yeah. So I'm working with Vicky. Yes. Oh. Okay. What Paige was saying is that if we have all of these volunteers working with kids, that's a lot of different people. And you know, they connect with people that they know better on a more consistent basis, right? So I'm working with Vicky on that right now, how to best do that, you know, and yet get more people involved. So, okay, one more, David. Yeah, I mean, you guys know, this is Sunday school. Okay, this is what it is. We got Gospel Life Encounter, but it's Sunday school, okay? Let's be honest. But the way we're conducting the classes, you know, and that the whole church is going through it, I think is something that's different than maybe we've ever had, okay? And I think there's going to be a groundswell of excitement as people. And that Sunday we launch, it's going to be different. We just want it to be totally, it's not going to be the same. So we've got a lot of different things planned. And so that we get people excited about this as we promote it, as we talk about it. You know, now you all know, so when people ask, you can tell them what you know, okay? But we'll be, on a regular basis, communicating what's coming, and that's what we're trying to do. Okay, one more. Go ahead. Yeah, amen. And we are fighting that consumeristic culture, you know, and we want people coming in here that don't know Christ, you know, and to grow. We don't want it to be transfer of memberships. Okay, so, but that's going to happen too, you know, that's just, so brother, come on up and pray for us, but can you keep it short? Okay, one other thing is that Brenda will be handing out the forms, okay, and so if you know, you can give these forms to Info Central, but really, I just want you to go home and pray about this. Pray for what's happening. You know, that's what I'm inviting you into. And you can just email, okay? Email me your, Brenda, actually, your response. You know, do you want to be a teacher, facilitator? And then give us your top three choices. And that's what the form says, okay? All right, can you pray for us?
Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we thank you for this opportunity. This opportunity to reflect your grace. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. You provided so much for us. So, Lord, out of the provision that you've given to us, whether it be time, talents, or treasure, we want to give it back to you. We want to give it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, we ask that you make our feet beautiful so that we bring the gospel not only to each other, but to this church, not only to this church, but to this community, not only to this community, but to this city, so that we may be a shining example. A shining example of Christ's love in the world today. Father, we need you. We need you to speak to us. We ask you to just speak to our hearts and our minds and let us have a resoluteness about this. If this is what you've opened for us to do, this door, let no man close it. If it is not for us, Father, we ask that you close it, that we don't pass through it in a way that you don't want us to. So, Lord, I just ask you to be with every single family, every single person that is thinking about doing this, all of the leadership, Father, just make it good. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you, everyone.